welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm Bianca Brady. And he's Keith Malley and she's Hemda. And don't think I didn't notice you two this week with the switcheroo. And Hemda's introducing the shows.
Okay.
And now the toilets actually flush the other way and we're like on the other side of the earth. What is going on with that?
Well, there's something up with the whenever Hemda jumps in with, and I'm Hemda, that her Anne comes in so quiet and I don't know why. It's very strange. So we just said, you know what? You just start.
And I'm still not comfortable with it, to be completely honest. I'm trying not to do that thing that people do. Like they get into like extra whimsy that they don't even believe in because they have to start the show, you know, like, and welcome, my name is Hemda. It's like, hi, welcome to the show. I'm Hemda. But you can hear the whimsy being trying to be dialed down when I introduce. You can hear me being a little stiff because I'm not used to it. So I'm in my head, I'm trying to keep it uniform. And it is, but you can hear different variations of nervousness behind the talk. Did you feel all of that, Bianca, in hearing my voice?
Yeah. I mean, I was like, this is new for her. Mm-hmm. I mean, me personally, as I'm an old hand at this because I'm always introducing the show with this show last week with varying levels of whimsy. And it is hard not to put a little mustard on it, say, welcome, gibbity-goo, and welcome to the show. Because, I don't know, just starting from nothing seems so bold. It's like, okay, you pressed play, and it's just me. But Keith, it's like, you don't have that problem, do you?
He's got thousands of episodes. And plus, like, no one starts a conversation with, hi, welcome to the conversation. My name, if you forgot, is Hemda. Totally casual. It's good to be here. Nice to see everyone all around. We totally didn't just have a conversation right before this, but I'll start now.
Agreed. Yeah, I think this is why shows have theme songs that seem to go on for way too long, but it's like, I'm not really here, guys. Don't be nervous. I'm just talking and thinking. And are we all comfortable now? Okay, now I can lower the music because we're already friends.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. A great podcast that I've been loving lately called Stradio Lab. I know Chew also likes it. He's posted about it on Instagram before. But the way they start every episode is one of the hosts goes, podcast starts now, which I think is kind of perfect.
Well, Bianca doesn't waste time when it's like, all right, Bianca, whenever you are, and you just know, you're like, I got to throw myself in there. Hi, everybody. Here we go. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what am I going to dilly-dally for? I don't want to waste your time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know my motto about
don't
moving.
Waste time. Mm-hmm. And move briskly.
And the way that one should be moving.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Keith, let me ask you, do you feel extremely trolled when the hosts of last week give a detailed description of the date and time?
It's interesting. All they think is that it bothers me, so they do it. But meanwhile, there are practical reasons, so what the fuck? But what are you going to do?
Would it be worse or better if I said the wrong time and date?
Yes, make it a little later.
It's midnight here on a Monday night or Tuesday morning.
It's actually Sunday, and I'm not barfing. Everything's fine. No, but we do have to do full disclosure, Keith. In the interest of full disclosure, we did have to reschedule.
Right, you did have to reschedule. And what happened to you the other day?
Okay, so check it out.
Okay.
I'm living my life, live, laugh, love in London, doing my thing. I had a great trip. I saw the sights. I mean, name a thing in London. I did it, you know, everything. Yeah. You could
Big Ben.
Did it. Saw it.
Ferris wheel.
Saw it.
Changing of the guard.
Saw it. Wow. Okay. Anyway, a part of that was like eating a lot of food. So who knows?
I didn't notice they had food there when I was there.
Well, you gotta know where to go. You know what I mean? And I was with someone who did. But anyway, something happened. I got a stomach bug or something on the plane ride home, minding my business. Huh. Not feeling great, but I'm minding my business. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I throw up. There's no barf bag.
Oh.
I throw up in my mouth, and oh. then I can't.
No.
Get it.
No.
I can't do anything. So I just release it into the aisle.
Oh!
Like into your hand and into the aisle?
Into my hand, into the aisle. I'm on the aisle seat. The woman across the aisle from me, of course, very upset.
Yeah, she's not pleased.
I feel...
Because you did it. It looks like you did it with your right hand, and over there, you do it on your left.
No, it's like I threw it at her with my hand. I threw up in my hand and then flicked it on her fuzzy socks.
You know, I noticed that they don't put barf bags in everybody's seat, or they don't replenish, because I remember last time I was like, it would behoove anyone who has a barf bag in front of them to loan it to me at this moment. And I was like, everyone stop dilly-dallying. They didn't really say it like this, but I was like, if you have a barf bag, it's mine.
Give
now.
It up. Give it up. So
either going in that barf bag or we're going to have a choice.
This was the kind of barf where you have only like a half a second before it happens to even register that it's going to happen. It was like I was from a dead sleep and then all of a sudden barf in the aisle. And then I get up, I run to the bathroom, but guess what? They're occupied. No. Both. And so I crouch down in front of the bathroom.
And started pushing your vomit in the door, like underneath?
I barfed all over the floor again.
You get barfed.
Crouched. And I'm being observed by a family of Hasidic Jewish people. No. Five children, all the same age. How does that happen? And they're all staring at me with their curly Qs. Their little yarmulkes. Mm-hmm. Not, they're just staring.
You're upset because they have barf bags on their heads for fun.
And then the dad or the patriarch is like in the aisle. He turns around. Nobody's looking at me. Nobody even registers that I'm there.
Maybe this is gross. Like, are you making any noise or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh God.
And I turned up. I have throw up all over my face and arm. And I say to this man, I need help. And he goes, okay, I'll help. And then he called the flight attendant over. She was pissed. You know, she wasn't.
How's everyone getting mad at you?
Well, you know, I was mad. I was mad at me.
You're the only one who gets to be upset. That's it.
So, yeah. So then I threw up a few more times in the bathroom, though. But that was about 2 hours before landing that this all started. And then we landed at JFK at 4 p.m. And they said, oh, you know what? Something went wrong and we don't have a parking space here at the airport for the plane. So we had to wait another hour and a half to be let off of the plane.
How long did it take people to stop half standing?
Well, they made everyone sit down and put their suitcases back up and close the overhead bins again. Meanwhile, my throw up is drying in the aisle. The woman who I've flicked barf on is like in a different seat, thank God. I wish I could give her money. I feel terrible.
Were you thinking it was COVID at all?
No, I was just thinking like, you know, oh, Bianca, you're not allowed to have fun. Like, who told you you could go on vacation
again
unscathed? So that was really what I was thinking, was like classic Bianca, you know, you reap what you sow, try and do anything and something bad will happen. But then my friend who I was with in London, she texted me, "Hey, are you feeling okay? I've been throwing up all day." And I was like, okay, here we go. Something happened here. We ate something, or we got some sort of a virus or something. But she was also on a plane because she was traveling to Guatemala that day from London. So she was on an 11-hour flight. But she didn't throw up in front of anyone. So she wins.
Do we know if this is leukemia related or seasickness, air sickness?
I think food poisoning or a stomach bug, some kind of a virus. Yeah.
That sounds right. Damn, I hope the food was good. You know, like I used to eat at Planet Thai, RIP. I still, to this day, you know, I fantasize if I win the lotto, I will hunt this man down and have him like either sell me his recipes or reopen for like a week or something. It's okay. Anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah. So it would be so spicy that the next day my stomach is upset and I'm on the toilet and I'm just like, worth it. I knew this would happen and I'm okay with it. Oh, it was so good. Was the food worth it?
Honestly, yeah. And I can't pinpoint like which food it was. So, so I thought I was in the clear. And then yesterday morning, I woke up. Same sort of thing. I was fine, had a cup of coffee. I was sitting in my bed reading a book. And I, all of a sudden, it just came up like, you know, the fires of freaking Mordor or whatever. And
what was the book?
It's called Dead Souls.
That'll do it. Yeah.
And I made it to the toilet to throw up, but not all of it got in there. Some of it got on there. It was like a whole thing. Anyway, I couldn't record yesterday because of just being defeated.
Because you're busy cleaning up throw up. You know, that's what sucks also. It's like, not only am I throwing up, I know I have to clean that up.
Yeah.
So like when I'm done throwing up, I got to do the next thing because what am I going to do? Yeah.
My friend was like, if I were you, I would definitely have pulled the cancer card on the plane. Like, come on, you have to. And I like pathetically sort of tried, but I didn't do a good job. Like I said something like, I deal with illness. Like I said something really vague.
I have thought of doing that. Like, okay, maybe I'll get a little bit more understanding if they understand, you know, a little bit of the history of this is not just me throwing. I'm the throw up girl or whatever it is. And I always do it wrong. It's kind of like trying to grease someone, you know, bribe someone as you shake hands. But if you don't know what you're doing, it just is like, Don't do it. Don't, like, you got to practice that so much. Either it, that seems like one of those things you either can do it or can't.
How would you do it, Keith?
I was really just now looking up Dead Souls. So if you repeat that last sentence, I can answer you.
How would you play the cancer card on a plane?
Cancer!
If you were me.
That's from cancer, all that vomit.
Okay. But you wouldn't, really. Route. You wouldn't. You would never be able to do that. In the moment.
He would drown.
Because you feel like somebody is going to catch in a lie, even if you do have cancer. I've found that when you try to say like, well, I have cancer, you feel like somebody's going to show you the receipts and you actually don't have it.
That's the way to get out of cancer. Do it.
But there's got to be like a shirt or something you wear that shows you have cancer. I'd wear that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like there's ribbons that you wear, but that's to support also. There should be a ribbon for like currently going through.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? I got cancer and all I got was this stupid t-shirt that tells you I got cancer. That's why I barfed. Don't be mean to me.
I think based on politicians, I would just say I didn't do it.
As you're doing it, you're throwing up, going, it's not me.
It's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I'm not.
That's probably best.
So anyway, that's my update. And besides that, I would say great trip.
And this book, Dead Souls, is pretty good.
You think so?
Have it's you about the Russian aristocracy, right?
Yeah.
Kind of middle class, right? Yeah.
And in New York City weather on the ones, it is 52 degrees and there's rain in the forecast. And the time it is, well, we'll leave that to you to guess, dear listener. But yeah, we do have to move into the bulk of what we have to talk about, which is last week's shows. And as always, Keith and Hemda, they have a podcast called Keith and the Girl. They've been doing it for 18 years. And they talk about the intimate details of their lives. And they do sometimes have guests, usually people in the comedy community. This week was no exception. Starting with episode 3,645, Hush Money with Rojo Perez and Craig Klein. Now, sometimes I see certain... Now, I'm not saying this is what happened.
It is.
But sometimes I see certain names together and I go, was this a double book or was this intentional?
Was it an accident? It was quite deliberate. I thought they'd be good together. Also, Craig was looking up things that I would never bother looking up about Trump's potential arrest. And I'm like, you know what? Just come on and let's talk about it.
Outsourcing.
Yes. Yes.
Smart. That's good management.
Thank you.
Well, I thought
it reminds me of how we used to book. Like right now, I send a link. The link has several dates that you can choose from at a time. You fill out a form, like it automates all of this shit. What used to be is like, hey, later on we're doing a show. Do you want to be the guest? Or like, hey guys, what do you think about it? So it used to be like, doing anything? Because we're recording at 3. It's just interesting how far it came.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they were great together. Was a great a foursome. Were they assholes?
Craig. No, it's his personality. No, everybody was fine.
You guys talked about Lance Reddick passing away of natural causes
at 60. What the hell?
Yeah.
Did that scare you?
Me?
I'm asking anybody. I thought I would just look straight ahead and whoever has an answer could go.
I can use a rest, but it just seems like 60's close.
I don't know. At this point for me, death is just around the river bend at all times.
That's how I feel. I kind of I think 50, you know? So I got like 3 years. Anything beyond that? I mean, I'm already living on like some weird time I wasn't supposed to be living in. But then there's going to be a third phase if I make it past 50.
Yeah, totally.
That's interesting. Okay. Okay. I didn't know this accepted 50 is the end now.
Well, I feel like our doctors helped us find a spot. To me, for some reason, I saw 50 in their eyes.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, they won't. I feel like in movies, they always say like, oh, you have cancer. You have like 1 year to live. Or they're like 6 months to live, 3 months to live. You have about 10 days to live. You have about 4.5 hours to live. Like, they don't do that in real life in my experience. They're like, you know, we're hoping could be fine. We'll see. It's all we'll see.
And it's right. That's exactly right. They go, we'll see, right? But at the time, they forget because they add a timeline by accident. We'll see in like 10 years. And I'm like, that's the date. And multiple people said 10 years. And at the time, I was a certain age. And that brings me to 50. So at 50, it sounds like something.
These are the farewell shows, everybody.
Yeah. Ever since then, I was like, can we all remember that everyone can die and just like treat them like you like them now instead of afterwards?
people don't remember. Keith, especially. So we're finding out.
Did you stop being a people pleaser in relation at all to this because of this tumor that you had, Chemda?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, in a way, but that's only because like when I found out I had a giant tumor, I was like, oh shit, now I have something to be upset about, right? And it's like that thing where it's like, I'll give you something to be upset about. It's like all this time, I never really believed I had something to be upset about, but my brain goes into very dark places. So I'm like, if I didn't have a tumor, now I do have a tumor and I have a reason to be upset, that's really scary. So I started looking up how to be happy. And that's actually what changed, because I was so nervous about how my brain could really, really get fucked up. And that's how OMAT started. These are the tools and the exercises and the way of thought that get me out of people pleasing, get me out of like the life that I'm not actually supposed to live, so I could actually be free.
All right.
Damn. Fuck, dude. That's not a good endorsement for OMAT. I don't know what is. You guys talked about the potential Trump arrest and all the legal trouble Trump's in. And
there was
Craig,
just a bomb threat during some hearing.
Yeah, Craig is on the case. He's our correspondent. Mm-hmm. I wish we could just cut to Craig, like the newscast right now.
He'd be in the tub right now. That'd be great if every time Craig gets brought up, we just broadcast his face all of a sudden.
He sits up out of bed. Smoke comes out of his mouth. Here's the thing, guys.
Yeah. And he has a DMT pen.
Mm-hmm, that's what
I hear.
And he's been hearing you talk about this horrifying Billy Wayne Davis, Shane Moss, Mike Kaplan text convo, and he hasn't even mentioned that to you?
He may have, but we understood it was a pill that this guy was talking about, so that's what I want, a 5-minute pill, like he said.
You want a pill more than just a pen?
A pen's fucking weird. A pen means 1,000 fucking hits of finding the center of the universe. It seems strange to me.
You want a dose, not whenever I feel like it and it gets brought to my mouth. You want to know how many pills, how many tokes, how many
that
ABC
kind of thing,
and
yes.
I get high. Yes. So are you giving up on DMT?
I don't care. Who cares? It's work.
Yeah, that sounds
do like drugs. I do drugs because I don't want to work. What am I fucking doing? The work to get drugs? Come on.
I like Rojo's incredulity about you just flagrantly saying, you know, I want this kind of drug. Right. I want to buy it. I want to buy it from you. Meet me here at three, you know, like.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, I didn't even think of that when this whole thing first came up. I was like, man, they're just brushing Keith off. Like, I was like, they really don't know what they're talking about. They lied about the whole thing. There's mm-hmm. no such thing as this drug.
Yeah, what you got to do instead, send an emoji of a mushroom and the cops won't have a fucking clue. Apparently, I work for, I have this service of mine. You can buy snow. You could buy mushrooms for pizza. You know, I mean, I think the cops, what the fuck? What are we doing?
I thought maybe we misheard on the show or something, misunderstood. Maybe the pill was for a different drug and they're just like, And that Keith sometimes isn't, it's like if he's not texting people he regularly texts, maybe there's a misunderstanding there, but nope, he just says cop face and cop sound and they're protecting themselves.
They're protecting themselves by laughing in the text and then saying, maybe it's a different Shane I know about, ha ha ha. Like all this is pretending you don't want to get in trouble with the cops. Interesting.
And it's interesting. And
it makes
I think
no fucking sense.
Gosh, you know, I think I don't know if this is really true, but I know in high school there was like this common belief that if you asked someone if they were a narcotics officer, they had to tell you. Is that true or is that just urban legend?
It's not true.
So I remember I worked at this coffee shop in high school that was like full of degenerate weirdos of from all walks of life. And this one guy, I remember, you know, it was like always just regulars in, you know, all the same people there every day. And there was this one guy who was like a pretty normal guy. It's like having a coffee by himself one day. And this regular turns to him and goes, "Excuse me, sir, are you a narcotics officer?" Like really just took it to the most logical. And he was like, "No, I'm like having coffee." Like, who are these freaks? So I always thought that was pretty good. They could have just
hoping
asked
that
you.
Was true. Right. No, they could just lie to you like about anything.
But so, you can't pretend you're them. That's interesting.
Ha! Huh. That's how they get you.
Mm-hmm.
You guys also talked about the Sue Costello latest.
Mm-hmm. Now you're caught up and it makes sense. And that's good. I can finally give a little, I mean, it's ongoing, obviously, but it feels like a little bit of a closure and understanding that we all got finally.
What's the last time you had a interaction with her? Do you remember?
It's been a bit. Probably some months ago. And one of my friends, Adam or Craig, sent me a link of some hilarious video, but the link really went to a one-on-one me and her on her live stream. That was probably the last interaction. And she's like, "Oh, coming on my show." And I'm like, "Oh," and I'm typing. I'm like, "Oh, actually, I got to go. I even got here in the first place, but now I got to go. I didn't check my calendar. Right now, I got to go."
Does she still think you're really brave and you're like yes. one of the only people who say the truth?
I got a text. Power? I got a text, you know, not too long ago that saying that, or a public tweet with my name. But yeah, Keith was scared. Only man who will admit that he's scared. Well, I'm not scared. And Keith's brave for admitting that. And, you know, drip, drip.
It's very mixed up. It's all very mixed up.
Well, so that's the law, and that's Holly Weird, and you know that's what she's fighting for.
I like the idea that the contract was just like somebody saying, "Okay, yeah," and then you guys talked about like, "No, we're just trying to be polite, give you the brush off. We're not in breach of contract,
right?
We just like weren't interested." Ugh, it's so sad.
I mean, it is sad because she came in with a script of the best new show you could ever think of, fits our times. This has been going on for 20, 30 years, but it's always been fitting the times. You know, you just tweak a noun or something like that. She's like, "Oh, I got to add the word bussin'." Okay, now it's up to our times. But so this is very exciting. They try to steal this one copy of the script from her hands. They wrestled her to the ground.
Yeah. But not sexually. It's not like
sexually.
That.
Not sexually. It's not about that. It's not about that. That's how the press is trying to frame it. "Oh, did Harvey Weinstein fuck you? Because everything else makes no sense to us." And she had to go, "No, that's not what it's about. It's about things that make no sense." And they said, "Well, then we can't talk to you because we don't know how to report the things that don't make sense." And it's a mess. And that's, she's fighting the fight though.
Hamda, I feel a little bit of discomfort from you whenever this topic comes up. Am I sensing something or?
You're right. Yeah. I don't know what to say when this topic comes up because I feel like she's in the middle of something. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah,
so,
the middle of fucking breaking this world wide goddamn open.
It's a break of some sort, sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's borderline. We're not sure what's going on here, but you know what?
Crazy? Crazy like a fucking fox.
I hope that it all comes to light. You know, I have faith in the project.
I think somewhere in there she says she's going to find the real killer. I don't know, but I'm very excited about what the future holds.
And you also talked about ChatGPT on this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Keith, what was the poll for this episode?
The poll was, is ChatGPT dangerous? Yes or no? What do we think, first off, Bianca? Is there some kind of danger in these computers knowing everything that we do? Or did they already, and it's just a matter of time that they literally spell it out? I don't
think ChatGPT is dangerous, no.
Okay, all right. 69% of the audience said yeah. Nice, 69. They said yes, it is dangerous. 31% aren't scared.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Sack up, you know.
Right.
You're scared of that? Scared of a little chat?
You said chatty. Words can't hurt you. Yeah, now these kids hear the words and you're getting nervous. Interesting.
I have a friend who actually who I stayed with in London, my friend's husband, he's an artist and he does a lot of art with these AI interfaces. It's kind of fun. It's pretty cool. I think it's a cool tool. And when you sort of, you can kind of let your imagination run wild with thinking that it like is sentient, but it's really just parroting anything that has ever been written. And now the internet just has so much stuff on it that it's just like, of course it sounds like human thought. That's what it's pulling from.
Can we get to the next show's poll? I think it's related a little bit.
Sure, if you want to skip ahead. I mean,
is that allowed?
Yeah.
Okay.
What am I, the host of the show? Huh. Let me think about it.
I'll let you do it.
And Keith, what was the poll for the next episode?
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up because it kind of goes with this. The next episode, 3646. Wow, it's not easy. Good job. would you be upset if you caught someone using ChatGPT when they texted you? And Kenta said it wouldn't bother her, but then you know how she does. She has a whole backstory to this made up person that obviously has the best intentions.
No,
oh, they made a mistake.
Me either. I think like the idea that it's less effort to ask a chat what to think and then copy and paste whatever that is, like to me that implies that you care more about the text.
If you're over, you go on a date, you met on a dating app, you go back to his place. Congratulations, you smash. You happen to see his computer, it's open.
Hey, you lost me.
Okay, and you hugged, okay. You happen to see his computer, and you see that every time he talked to you, and it was a conversation, it was from the GPT. That would not bother you? That's so hard to believe.
I would think it was weird, but I wouldn't be offended. Does that make you mad?
And I know that you're paraphrasing when you say, I wouldn't care or whatever. I think people with bad intentions who are going to be texting me just to whatever, get in my pants or use me for A, B, or C, they're going to use that and they're going to use the ChatGPT to do it. But the person who's trying to somehow find the way to speak, to relay information, and this is how they do that research, that's romantic. That's reading a book on how to speak to your partner, how to show more care in your writing, in a text, how to, you know, you have to actually come up with the questions to get that robot to do what you need. And so
the question was, how do I trick a dumb bitch?
Yeah, so well, that's what I'm saying. So bad intention.
Okay, so it would.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're trying to trick a bitch, then and I'm the bitch.
But
then,
I don't think ChatGPT lets you swear.
Really? How's it going to do comedy in my style?
Well, okay, because I did plug some stuff in there about I need to write stand-up for about Keith and the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it spit something out, but it definitely wasn't jokes. And then I said, okay, write a roast about Keith and the girl. And it said, we're not allowed to say anything mean. Sorry. Oh, wow. So right. It can't be mean, actually.
It's actually, we pay extra for that. That it won't say mean things about Keith and the girl.
Which is a great reminder. Bianca is opening for Keith. KeithandtheGirl.com/ticket. It's in 2 weeks. Don't tell them.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Keith. You know, I know you have a lot more time to fill than I do, but whew.
Well, first I'm going to start with Let's think about what Bianca was telling us, shall we? And then I'll reinterpret that.
Folks, we'll do that for a while. Yeah. Folks.
What else?
All right. And let's all talk on top of each other just to see if mic that. Check, right? That's a little mic check humor, if you guys don't know. Rod and Karen, you'll get that.
But I see on the forums here, 14% of the audience said they would not be upset. On Reddit, it's closer to half the people said they would not be upset. I can't imagine.
Well, we're animals on Reddit.
They're just grateful anyone's texting them at all. You know, it's like if you get the robot to do it, that's fine. Just respond.
Not anybody.
You know, better than ghosting. Better than K, period. Or even worse, okay, period. Oh, my God. Wow, God, he's so mad at me.
You thought the choices were a robot or a thumbs up?
Thumbs up is better than okay, period. Okay, period. It's like, what did I do? I'm sorry. LOL.
You might as well add an M. Okay.
Oof.
But it's like, oh, how long have you known that person in your phone? 30 years ago, I borrowed a lawnmower and we don't know how to say goodbye.
Ha ha. Cutting grass, lol. Thinking of you. BFF. Okay. We did skip ahead, but I have to go back to do it
please.
Right.
Yeah.
Episode 3646, You People, with Ray DeVito and Mike Kaplan. What can I say? And You People and these two, I mean, talk about your booking coup. Talk about your odd couples. I mean, wow.
I want Keith and the girl to cover everybody on the spectrum, and so this was a special show.
This was, I don't know what kind of a spectrum it was, but
I don't know either, but it made sense when Keith just said it.
All the colors of the rainbow were represented here. Roy, G, and Biv.
I heard Ray has his show, Rock Bottom, a podcast, and Mike happened to be on it. It was him and Ophira Eisenberg, and Ray does not listen at all.
No,
and
he
so
doesn't.
He'll say something caveman-like, and then they'll say, no, this is what you're missing about Meghan Markle or whatever the fuck. And then he goes, yeah, and then goes right back to exactly what he just said. And so Mike was scheduled, Ray asked to be on, and I'm like, this is perfect. Let's do this again. Where Mike, who can't help himself but find an angle on everybody, and Ray, who doesn't listen, I think that would be a good pairing. And it was.
I just liked how, like, the conversation with Ray and Mike, both, it gets to a point of just absolute circularity where it's like Mike can't stop sort of spiraling, talking about something and getting deeper into the minutiae of it. Where, like, we started talking about lunch. And then at the end of his sentence, he's talking about a pickle he had in third grade. And right. It's like, I don't know how we got here, but like, please, can we zoom back out?
Yes.
And then with Ray, the circularity is sort of like, we're talking about lunch. Everyone goes around and says, oh, yeah, I like lunch. Oh, yeah, I had lunch today. Oh, lunch is my favorite meal. And then it gets back to him and he asks the exact same question about lunch again. And it's like, well, we already did cover it. We covered lunch. He's like, but don't you eat lunch?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
But all lunches aren't good, right? I'm like, yeah, we know. It's just the stuff you said about the roast beef needs to be looked into, you know?
Yeah. He's like, I think he said about four times in that episode, but like, you know, sometimes you would just touch yourself and it would feel good, but nothing would come out.
Yeah. And I'd be like, oh, I never touched myself. I know it's an abnormality, but I didn't touch myself till I was 18. He's like, yes, when you were a kid and things didn't come out. I'm like, that's right. When I was a kid, things didn't come out. That is correct. You know what I mean? Yes, I know what you mean. You mean like, things don't come out of the penis when you're young sometimes is what you mean. Yeah, you get it. You know what I mean, right? Yeah, I do. Do you know you learned nothing about me?
And it's like how it's I don't know. Oh my God, that episode was too much. It was too much. She talked about their two albums being released. And with Mike, you were like, so your album is jokes that you wrote. He's like, well, my album is jokes that I wrote.
Right. I never paraphrase stand-up right, apparently. I don't give facts about their albums right, apparently. But the words really seem the same to me. That they say and that I say, they really seem the same to me.
I don't know what it is. Like, if you're, I don't know. I feel like they're, the something about the tone of your voice is like you're accusing them of doing something else. That's not what they're doing. You're right. Like, your album's a comedy album full of jokes. They're like, well, don't go so, come on, Keith.
Right. You know it's a comedy album full of jokes. All right. Like,
nobody's arguing.
And nobody cares where the word jokes came from either.
All right. Yeah, that my note here says album descriptions in a nutshell, elevator pitches. So I still can't really describe either one.
What?
I still
What's happening?
I still can't describe either one of their albums in a nutshell.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. An elevator pitch.
Yeah. I think if I elevator pitch those albums, mm-hmm. Ray DeVito's is, hey, guys, I'm an idiot. And Mike Kaplan's is, I don't really care for these jokes as much as the other ones.
Perfect. Yeah. Hamda, what do you think of that? Would you say that's accurate?
You know, I didn't hear the albums yet, but it sounds accurate because Mike Kaplan actually did name it the in-between or something, meaning all the jokes that couldn't be on one album or another, but he didn't want them to go to waste.
Right.
So that I wouldn't want Keith paraphrasing anything I ever did, specifically creative, because there's so much interpretation. And yeah, for some reason, what I said sounded the same. Mike said it's the jokes that he was going to throw away, essentially, right? But he didn't use the word throw away. Right. And Keith comes in and goes, it's the jokes that weren't good enough for the other one. He's like, well, you're not wrong, but I don't want you to think that. So, you know, I don't want to call the show Leftovers, but I think I am calling it that. And then Keith is going, did you call the show Leftovers? And it's like, yeah, but not like how you think.
Instead, I called the album an album I'm not going to make any money on, this one. I'm going to give it to Sirius XM for them to play instead.
You're like, okay, and now you can get it for the first time. He's like, well, actually, you could listen to it before on Sirius if you heard it.
Right.
You're like, okay, never mind then. Okay, why are you here? Right. Why are we here? Oh, it makes me laugh. Makes me LOL. Okay, and we already covered the poll.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be mad.
Okay, good.
So I would be like, huh.
Hmm. I certainly have no follow-up questions about this.
You didn't say, would we have follow-up questions? I'm not saying not only would I not be mad, I would dismiss it as a topic of conversation.
I would not be mad. I just would never see you again. But I wouldn't be mad.
Really? So you would just cut it like, this is not good.
Yeah, you lied to me. You fucking lied to me. You tried to get away with it. There's no other, I can't think of any other scenario other than you tried to get away with
crux.
It. What else could it be? I don't even know it what else it could be. This just came to you. That's what I'm saying.
What if you ask your friend to write a text for you?
Yeah, that's wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. If I'm seeing somebody and Adam's doing all the texting until I see that person, yes, that is wrong.
So you didn't like Cyrano.
I need good looking people in my movies.
ChatGPT.
I thought you hated that.
Cyrano.
I'm hard to figure out.
All right, we have to move on. Episode 3000.
I don't need the fucking elephant man. I'm done saying just people that look like normal people.
73647. Yes. That was then with Shalewa Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, another beautiful episode with Shalewa, who's one of the easiest people to listen to. And I imagine talk to as well. Just so good. Like the the magic of the volley. It's like a perfect pro tennis match, convos with Chilewa.
Just that feels so good to hear, because I really do look forward to hearing Chilewa, to like having a conversation with her, her shows. I just like hearing her talk. For some, there's something about her, and everyone says that too. But to be honest, it's not the volley that you thought it sounded like, which I think that's really, really good. I think we understand she won't be interrupted, so we stop trying to interrupt,
right?
Because okay. Because I'm like, well, if
she
I
just
keep
keeps yeah. going,
yeah.
She just,
yeah, yeah. So it's like, fuck it. Today's a listening show. That's fine. I like what she has to say. So
especially
fuck it.
For Keith. You can't. I feel like Keith, you can't get a word in edgewise when she comes on.
She's passionate.
I think Keith and I interrupt people in different ways. There are people that I can bulldoze over in interruption in order to like stop them from themselves, and there are people where I can't touch. And you know, there have been times where I'm texting Keith in one way or another over the computer, going like, "Can you interrupt this?" Because for some reason. Yeah, we just have different interruption techniques. And for this one, we're just like, I think it's going to be her turn until she says.
I feel safe with her when she goes on. I feel safe. Mm. I feel like she's going to take me where I need to go. Mm. I'm not worried. Some people go on and on and you're like, oh no, like, please, somebody.
Yeah, we'll talk to Rod and Karen next week.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
She's saying about Briscoe.
But don't sub it. I speak for it. I just said it. You don't have to sub do anything.
I thought that was doing you a favor, but all right.
So was she texting you before the show, like, hey, I'm locked out of my house. Hopefully I'll get in.
We had no clue.
Because Keith, you started the episode right away. And whenever that happens, I think like, there was a moment where like, don't say anything.
Mm.
Record. Okay, now you go. Say what you
That's
need
probably
to
how
say.
It went. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Talk for what? Nothing?
We need to make money off of this story.
Yeah. Understand your words have power. Let's save them.
Yeah. I did get a kick out of your story, Keith, about getting locked out of your house and not accepting that the cost to get back in was going to be $200. You're like, I've eaten, I've peed, mm-hmm. I had sex last night. I could stay in this hallway all day.
I was in the hallway eating a sandwich and Gatorade, I remember.
Like, whatever, however long you want to do it, we can wait, but that's it, baby.
You can have a little bit of money, and I go in my house, or you get no money, and I'm homeless, but that doesn't help you at all. And they made the right decision.
That is an act of heroism.
Thank you. And it's crazy, the whole story, that it most likely is the same guy that first called me and said, where the fuck is your house? I don't see it. I'm like, go fuck yourself. And he's like, well, how can I find you? I'm like, how can we talk? How can I show you my address now? How can this go anywhere? And then I think it's the same guy that later went like, hi, did you you called our company? I'm a different guy. I can be there in 2 seconds.
I do that a lot at my job. I call people back pretending to be the manager.
Nice.
And I go like, I'm so sorry about her. But it's all me.
Right. She's fired.
Someone in the comments, I think it was Appia, super helpfully, was like, hey, did you ever think about maybe giving a neighbor a spare key?
Oh, she's very condescending, too. She was like, let me tell you what we do.
Over here in Germany,
right?
We have this thing called community.
Friends? Yeah.
Okay, geez, brag. What a brag. Yeah, I have a neighbor with keys. Not to brag, but I do have a neighbor with keys. So.
Right.
Yeah, well, life's good.
Yeah, I just didn't get to it.
Hemda, do you have a neighbor with keys?
No. I think I don't. These neighbors are really cool and we get along. They don't get a key. But I thought we hit a key. No, I used to have a key in that dog lock box.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't feel safe either, to be honest. No, well, not, I don't have a key. Now. I just got a key, and now we're getting another spare key when Newsy comes. So maybe that will be the friend key. How about that?
Great. Great.
Great. You just got to go to Pittsburgh anytime you need to get in. All right.
No, he'll use it while he's here. We'll give it to somebody else when he's gone.
I'm glad you have a key now, Hamda.
Thank you. I'm very sophisticated.
Yeah, no, I've always said that about you.
Mm-hmm. We have said that.
Well, you keep piggybacking on my sophistication. Mm-hmm.
And also me compliment you. Also, I do think it.
That present is from both of us.
Good. Good, you are good. You guys talked about George Santos, and the only time I've ever disagreed with Shalewa was when she said he was not interesting.
Oh, he's so interesting. Yeah, she was wrong.
My absolute king, and yeah. I love his ass.
It's amazing. Nobody's like him.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And the credit card scam.
And he scams credit cards, it seems.
Ugh, beautiful.
Did. Yeah.
Hemda, you're blooping. You're doing bloop pay. Pay by bloop.
Oh yeah, I love blooping.
You talked about that.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of with Shalewa where I don't bloop. I keep it separate. And it's not for any good reason. I don't think it's logical. But it's just like with some of these technologies, I feel like you need to just let me get to it on my own time. Like I'm not saying it's not right. I'm just saying I'm not there yet.
And I understand it. And I don't know what my origin story is, but I wouldn't be surprised if I left my wallet and credit cards at home and only had my whatever. And I'm like, I guess I bloop now. And I don't think that that's the true origin story. But yeah, there are things. I remember getting AirPods in the mail, and I got them, I think, for free because whatever. And they were sitting there for a week because I wasn't ready for the technology. I wasn't ready to pair it or press the button or do the thing. And it turns out Apple knows this about human beings. As soon as I opened the box, they were like, we see the phone. Is this the phone? I'm like, it is the phone. Oh, and I used it right away. And I recognized that technology is now being made for people like us who need a minute, but I took less for this thing.
That's
for
cool.
some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. In London, where I just was, you tap to pay for everything. You know, I mean, you can tap to pay for the subway now in New York. That's sort of recent, but you do there as well. But the difference there is that you have to tap again to exit. Because it costs a different amount depending on how far you go or where you're coming from. And so, like, to remember to get your card out again to tap to leave is so kind of hard to remember, annoying. And I was like, I don't think that they could do that in New York at this point. Like, people would just be like, it would be like a stampede. Like, people would die because it'd be like, I'm leaving. I'm not tapping. I'm leaving.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's too much. Way too much. No, I don't like carrying a purse and I don't like my pockets being bulky. So if my phone can do it, it's over. And as soon as they figure out how to have a photo machine, a camera on the on the Apple Watch, my phone is getting thrown out the window. Goodbye. I don't need it.
What are you doing with your camera on the Apple Watch?
That's just the only feature. You know, you see a nice sunset. You know, I just posted on Reddit a cake in a sundae. You know what I mean? Like in a some sort of milkshake thing. That's fun.
Yeah.
Moments of your life. Good. Yeah.
I see. Okay. Yeah. I see. I thought it had to do with blooping the camera. But
no, if I could bloop the camera, that's it. This goes out the window. Goodbye.
Keith, do you bloop?
I don't. I'm not sure how you set it up.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot.
It's so not, because when you open up your wallet and you add a card, it actually opens up your camera and takes the numbers off of your card. So you're not even inserting the numbers. It's picking up on it. Yeah, see, those blank looks is why.
Sounds good.
Yeah, every time somebody goes, yeah, it's too hard, I want to chime in and go, no, actually, it's very user friendly. And the best thing to do there is to shut the fuck up. The best thing to do is to assume that you're talking to adult human beings who know it's user friendly, who have been through technology, and to just go, they're not going to be ready. Even if you tell them how ready they are, it's just not right. It's just leave
people
alone.
But you know what? I think I might be ready soon. I might be ready soon to bloop.
Hmm.
I don't know, but I think I'm getting there. I do hide cash in my house, but I have a, because you guys talked about that on the episode. I'm not just bringing that up out of nowhere. Keith, your eyes were like, what the fuck? I have a thing that I do where I take anytime I have a $5 bill, I save it in a special place. So,
oh, that's cool.
I have, you know.
I like silly arbitrary rules for things like that. Yeah, like at the end of the day, whatever changes in your pocket, that's what goes in here. I never heard of the $5 bill one. I like it.
Yeah, it's fun because then you just have a big wad of them.
Find Bianca's roommate. Neighbor has key. Okay.
And what was the street name growing up for your porn name? and the last four of your social would be...
Okay, and what was the poll?
The poll was, do you hide cash in your home?
Yes.
Yes.
No, I don't. 35% say yes. 65% say no.
I'm going to imagine that there's money hidden from you in your own house, Keith. If you don't hide it, Kyle does.
No one us. When you bloop, by the way, how aren't you just walking past things and blooping them?
You have to, you double click, your card comes up. You can even pick the card. My default is just the one I use all the time. You double click and then you wave it, but it has to be ready for you. They go, your total is, and they put it up on the bloop. And that's when you sync with the bloop.
And it knows because, so it's waiting for you to do the double tap?
Yeah, you double tap on your...
But it's waiting for that, right?
Well, your phone is closed completely. Right now, look, I'm going to take out my phone. And when I double tap, I didn't want to show you the credit card on the thing. My credit card just comes up.
Okay.
Double tap. It reads your face, or you could put in your password, but I assume you're reading faces. Double tap, decide.
We'll see. Well, it sounds like a lot.
I also don't have the face ID set up.
Oh, Lord. I got to go. That, oh.
I know.
No, I'm good. I'm good. And I'm back.
Okay. I'm not even ready for that.
Everyone's not ready. I get it. Oh, you know, you have to be ready because now I'm upset that my Kindle doesn't do it. I'm like, oh my God, I have to fucking put in a password. You felt my thumb on you. Let's go.
Anybody watch a TV show? You just hold the iPhone up to your face and they have your phone now. Seems every show I see, they do it. They're like, hey, don't look here. Where? I got your phone now. Like, fuck.
What is that?
Yeah, like if the cops take your phone and they put it in front of your face, they can search your...
They can find out what's going on with me and Shane.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, all in due time, you know, with technology as it changes. See,
Does your thumb no. open it? Not your thumb. No. You have to put in your password.
Yeah.
Keith, face ID?
Yeah, yeah.
I even have mask face ID. Did you add mask face ID? It recognizes me
in case
with
I have to wear a mask.
On.
No. Yeah. No. If I'm wearing a mask, I shouldn't even be there. I'm I shouldn't have access to my phone.
Smart. Okay, moving on. Game show happened on the 19th, right?
Yes.
And that was Mae Wilkerson, Abby Crutchfield, Nick Turner, and Kevin Casey White.
Yes.
And who won? And tell me everything. And
I won, and then they wanted to play longer, and then I lost. I did Silent Trailers was the first game I won. And then they're like, how can we make this so you don't win? And so we played more games.
And Nick Turner, who came in late, and
Turner, I hardly know her. She's working on my stand-up. Anyway, go on.
He was late, and I had already explained the whole game to everybody, and I didn't want to sit them through it, and I didn't want to delay the show more. So I go, you know Silent Trailers? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, here's your... Because they had to have a clicker for who's next. I'm like, look at your clicker works. Okay. And have you ever played Jackbox, any of the games? And he goes, yeah. I go, all right, you'll figure it out. And we went live. Because, and then,
see,
and
we
then
knew all the, we knew what to do, and I think it fucked with our heads.
He won every single Jackbox game, even when it looked like one person was like sweeping in the beginning. He would come in at the end, and he won the game show.
Those games are really fickle, and you know I've been burned, especially by that one where you pull the audience. Like I've been so wrong on every single one of those that it makes me feel like I might be from a different planet. Like I do not know my fellow man. I'm so out of touch.
You would be so upset to watch this because not only did Nick get it right, he got it exactly right. And more than once, like polled the audience. He was like, oh, 30%. It was like exactly 30%. We were like, what the fuck? So he knows our audience very well.
I like to think I'm a pretty good, you know, arbiter and kind of judge of like human behavior. But then Jackbox comes and shows me that I know nothing.
I also liked when, you know, usually when you play the game, the players get to vote on who wins. This time, the players voted sometimes and one person won, and then they showed the votes of the audience and it swayed it completely to the other side. Love wow. that. Yeah, I love the audience participation part.
But it was an interesting point I brought up that Nick Turner apparently knows all about society, getting all these percentages right and, you know, guessing what people do. And his girlfriend's like, are you even listening to me? Do you even know me? Our anniversary's tomorrow.
Is she paying him? He's paying attention.
She should be paying him. All right? Girlfriends should pay boyfriends. I think I'm going to try that because dating's not going well. So I think I'm just going to hire someone. But anyway, let's move on.
Okay.
Last week, episode 299 with Rod and Karen, and you guys talked about how you could go to a taping of Game Theory, and then I see on social media that it happened, and how was it, and was it fun, and was it glamorous, and tell me everything, and you guys all hung out, and did you talk about me? And go ahead, say it.
We missed you terribly. It was awful. But we have to find something good about it because, you know, they're visiting our city. So, I mean, with a hole in our heart from Bianca not being there, we can only Thank make you. The best of it. And here's how we did that. We met early. We were VIPs, which was really nice. The wait was almost no time, which is one of my issues with going to tapings. It's a lot of wait, and do exactly what we say, then wait some more. Not a lot of waiting. Karen was 100% right. Those seats were way, even at, she described how cushy they were. I'm like, oh, I didn't know you meant this. That was lovely. They did not overpack us like they do a lot of times where it's like more of you could fit in here. So let's fit in here. Very, very comfortable. And Bomani Jones killed it. Also, all of a sudden, Bomani's like, oh, I need to speak to someone. Rod comes out and I couldn't help it. I'm like, yeah. In the middle of the day, I'm like, hell yeah, Rod. You know, you get excited. So the whole thing was exciting. And of course, there was a warm-up guy and I can't help but volunteer for things. So there's video of me being like all dancey and ridiculous before the show even started. And it was a fun guy. It was a fun time.
What did you get up on stage?
Yeah. Nice. Not on the stage, but in front of all the audience because they're hyping up the crowd. So I'm like, and even ahead of time, I'm like, you know, it's going to happen. You just stay in your seat. You just enjoy the show. You're going to watch today. And then I'm like, they're like, we need a volunteer. I'm like, I'm right here. I'm into it. Whatever we're doing, I'm in.
You're like, I'm planning to die in 3 years. What do you need me to do?
Basically. Listen, if this is how we're partying, let's party. What are you asking me to do, coke? No, this is a very casual, why don't you sing to this and dance in front of everybody, get them hyped for the show that we put on. Sure, I could do that. That could be what I do today.
Did you stick around for a paycheck? Because this seems like it's the dude's job.
Keith, you didn't volunteer.
I pointed to her.
He said, for my contribution, here's Hemda.
What was the song, Hemda?
Beyonce, got me looking so crazy right now, you love. Ah. Which, I don't know the lyrics to that. I knew all the lyrics to the Rihanna song that the other side was getting.
Mm-hmm.
Don't act like you forgot. I call the shot, shot, shot. Like blah, blah, blah. I guess it's easy to know the words.
Mm-hmm. Bitch better have my money.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, that's easy. It's one word at a time. Mm-hmm. Bitch better have my money. Beyonce's trying to say 10 songs for every beat. I can't.
Beyonce does, she's a little bit of a try hard compared to Rihanna.
Yeah. She gets pregnant, gets in heels, and does a whole bunch. Rihanna's like, look, I'm pregnant. That's all you need to talk about.
I'm wearing sneaks, guys. Yeah. I'm wearing sneakers. I'm pregnant. All right. Well, I have time for a couple questions.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Are you going to try ChatGPT for dating? Why not?
No.
Why not?
Because I already know what to say.
Okay. Just I heard there was troubles.
How is ChatGPT? Like, if you can think of a way for ChatGPT to help me, then sure, I'll try it. But
right. Write something in the style of "the wanna fuck me," and then the robot will say stuff.
I think the answer would just be, and I think a lot of people know this, like wanna fuck. Like, females generally can get laid. It's the respect that we're seeking.
Yeah, well, that word too, Ed, but respectfully.
Oh, I see. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
I unpaused my Hinge the other night, and I was doing, I matched with someone.
Okay.
A gentleman named Lars.
Okay.
And he seemed nice, and we were chit-chatting, and he said, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm just hanging out. I just got back from London, you know,
nice.
Backdoor brag. I do travel. Mm-hmm. So I'm just hanging out.
Did you say, ask me anything? Ask me if I've been there. I've seen it all. Do you do that?
No. Okay. But he said something like, oh, I'm going out in the rain to meet a friend. And I said, wow, loyal friend flex. Nice.
Okay.
And he said, ha ha, guilty. And I said, nothing. And then he said, Bianca, do you have an Instagram?
Hmm.
An OnlyFans?
And I said, yeah, I do.
What's it to you?
But then immediately I'm on the defensive, like, okay, well, so now you're going to look at my Instagram and decide I'm not cool enough? Like, so I unmatched.
Ha! But he can use a computer.
Yeah, I guess I was like instantly like untrusting. And I think, you know, that's something to think about and look at and work on, maybe, you know, in therapy and otherwise. Why was I instantly defensive? Mm-hmm. Somebody wants to learn more about me through my Instagram, and my first reaction is like, well, why? Like, fuck you. Mm-hmm.
I get it. It's because it becomes not organic. We've been talking, and now you want to do some sort of
snoop.
You know, yeah, but he didn't say that. He said he's going out in the rain. I wonder if he wanted to share his Instagram, but you know, I'm just being like, what's the best case scenario? I think wait, she probably does have an Instagram. you'll figure out what it is. Like, why right now? Why Instagram first? But I don't know that we're right about that. You know, I don't know if our discomfort is too big for something.
My head goes to, like, I need to make sure she's not fatter than she looks in her profile or uglier. But then it's like there's stuff on my Instagram about being sick, and it's like it's a public Instagram. You can use it. But then I'm like, well, why am I ashamed of my public Instagram? Why am I ashamed of being sick? Anyway, every single interaction seems to open up a big can of worms for me about my psyche, like what's going on with me. And so then I have to immediately unmatch and put the profile on pause again and then have like 1,000 sort of conversations about what does it all mean before I can fire the app back up.
I get it.
Like, I wouldn't flat out ask. I'd send you like a funny meme that I saw and then go, oh, are you able to access Instagram? And you're like, of course. And I'm like, oh, what's yours?
You know what?
That's a trick.
You know what? That's,
yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's actually clever. And I don't know. I like that better. For so it comes with a little more charisma and a little more social something. Yeah, I get that. But I don't know. So I recently reconnected with someone I haven't seen in 20 years that I went to high school with. And she says something like, yeah, I saw on your Instagram, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, what does my Instagram represent? And then I probably, when I got home at a certain point shortly after, scrolled through my Instagram as if I was new. And I've done that.
I do that. I do that all the time.
And I don't think I get anything out of it. I try it. I'm like, if I was new, if I didn't know me, what would this Instagram say? And I'm like, it would say, get off and just let people learn whatever. It's the same as like when I sent songs. I'm like, okay, this song represents, here's what I wrote and here it shows my range. And I send it to the person who needs to have it for whatever reason. And then I listen to it because I'm like, what are they listening to? How can I listen to this without knowing it's me? And it doesn't really work, but I reach for it as a sense of how could I ground myself right now in what they are finding out about me. I don't, you know, like I said, I don't think it works, but I have done it.
I feel like I do that all the time. I'm always looking back at my things and seeing, and even like having someone particular in mind. I mean, like, I wonder, like, if I'm in there, I'm walking a mile in their moccasins, and what am I perceiving from these images? And there's really no way of knowing, just like another way of, you know,
trying to have control that you don't have.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no control. Out in the world. And, you know, I'm just, now I've learned to interrupt some of those thoughts and go there's no use for it. I'm going to go and literally do anything
else. just the fact that I immediately, when somebody asks, they want to see my Instagram, that my immediate visceral response is like fear, danger, like distrust. It's like, Bianca, you got to take a look at that. That's fucked up.
I get you though. Do you talk to yourself like you're the other person when you look at your own Instagram?
I actually put it into ChatGPT and I say, what would I say to myself if I were me?
Then it says, I can't say. We don't say cruel things.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's about it.
All right.
And bitch better have my money. Y'all don't know me well enough. Bitch better have my money. Y'all can't call me on my bluff. Pay me what you owe me. Bop, bop, bop. EthanTheGirl.com.